As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
I lead you to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years on a 50-win season. Another 50-win season, and this is the thanks I get. I'm fired. Makes you think. You know, it happens in hockey, things like this. Sometimes the Knicks went farther than they've gone in a long time, and, you know, the coach is out.
Tough racket.
Sal Capaccio with us now on the Wester Hotline. We'll get to the events of the day, but I'm sure you'd find that interesting too, Sal, right? I mean, as closely as you may or may not follow the Knicks or the NBA, you know, you get this sometimes, and there are Sean McDermott comparisons. We had it with the Leafs and the Bills, and here with the Knicks. Like, the idea of a coach only being able to take you so far. I guess we'll never know if this guy could have done better with the Knicks, and we'll judge it based on whoever replaces him and how that goes. But this continues to be somewhat of a topic of conversation, not probably within the Bills, but about them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you want to relate to Sean McDermott, I can see the parallels. And people asking, I always bring up the comparison. I was living in Florida when this conversation was going on with Tony Dungy. And I would say the same thing, which is, oh, my gosh, like, look what this guy's done for you. He's taken you to the NFC Championship games. The team was terrible, right? An organization and franchise for so long. And they did actually get rid of him, and they brought in John Gruden. They won a Super Bowl the next year. We know the Andy Reid comparisons, the same thing in Philadelphia. Not apples to apples. It never is, especially when you talk about a different sport, different dynamics. I would say this, though, guys. I have not read anything inside about, like, what's happened today. Maybe you have. Maybe you know more details. I've been engrossed with, you know, Bill's OTAs today. But I saw the headline, and the first thing I thought of was there's got to be more to just that part of it, right? There's got to be more to just he's taking us as far as he can go. Maybe that could be it. But to me, it's got to be, oh, there's some internal strife. There's a disagreement on how to build the team, what to do going forward, things like that.
Yeah, one of the first things that I brought up when talking about it, you know, hockey, basketball, especially basketball. I mean, you've got so few players. The coaching staffs, I'm sure, have gotten bigger over the years, but still, how many assistant coaches does Sean McDermott have? 30? 25? Like, there's a lot of people there, systems in place, and all that sort of stuff. And because there's such a small number of players, the star players carry a lot more weight. Right. So you only have 12 exit meetings to do, or maybe you don't even do exit meetings with the guys who are like bench guys. You probably do, just to be thorough. But one star player says something about the coach and not liking something, and I think you could get a GM or an owner to go like, all right, we got to make a change. That's it. The star player, you know. And I don't know that any of that happened either. I haven't read deeply on it either. That news broke right as our show was starting.
Well, the one thing we did have is the star player Brunson, like, walking off the set to a question about whether they had the right coach. You know, like, he would just not listen to that.
Right.
So we at least have that in the Knicks case.
Right, and that could be positive or negative. That could be, I don't want to tell you how I really feel, so I'm going to walk away criticizing the coach, or I'm tired of sticking up for this guy, and I don't want to take the question. But either way, it's very different than football, is all I'm saying, Sal, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. I think you go back to Michael Jordan, right? Basketball, I think, has been always more like this than any other sport. You know, man, his name escapes me. You guys might know. This is what happens when you're getting older, who Jordan's first coach was.
And Doug I remember Collins.
Doug Collins. Thank you, Mike. And that was it, right? It was like kind of this, well, it wasn't the right coach for Jordan, and that was the talk. And then same thing with Kobe Bryant over the years with a couple of – Allen Iverson was famous with this, right? Like, it wasn't the right coach for him. Or, you know, and these basketball organizations, the NBA, have always seemed to really kind of go in the direction of whatever the star player wants. Now – you could probably say that about football. Is that what happened with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers? Mm-hmm. Not really sure, right? I mean, like, you could definitely get there with some football scenarios. I think there was a thing with John Elway and Dan Reeves, actually, towards the end of their tenure together. So, but basketball has been more like that than football is.
It's all, dare I say it, it's almost like relationships, too. You know, like, I feel like I've gone as far as I can go with you, right? Just I've grown as much as I think I can with you. Anyway, tough business. All right, Sal.
I mean, that's the Stephon Diggs Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
Yep.
A couple years ago, right? I think that there was a recognition, for right or wrong, whatever happened behind the scenes, that I think both sides agreed that, like, they couldn't go any farther with each other.
Yeah, fair enough. So, to the present-day Bills... No Josh Allen at practice.
What an outrage.
Yeah, sure. What does that look like? I mean, he's such a presence, and so much would revolve around him in these practices. Is it strange to watch them without him there?
It is a bit strange. He brings, like you said, I think that's the right word, Mike, presence. It's not just his ability. His presence out there. You know, with these OTAs, by the way, you have... There are some people like who are like some, I guess you say, corporate sponsors or however they want to phrase it, you know, like some partners or whatever, that mm-hmm. there's some people on the sidelines. And I'm thinking, you know, some people out there today and they don't get to see Josh Allen, right? Like, they go out there, that's probably the first guy they want to see, anybody, when they go out to practice, right? So you think about it from that dynamic a little bit. Like, he's the show. And, yeah, we're out there watching. We know Josh Allen's the starting quarterback. I'm not watching to see if there's – you know, some quarterback battle, but I watch Josh Allen every day.
Yeah,
I watch his movements. I take video of him and throwing and how he's interacting with his coaches and his teammates. It's always just something that's always there that you watch. And then you get to the on the field part of it. And I wrote about it today and just posted at WGR550.com. I tweeted about it, which is like, there's just a noticeable difference in the offense without Josh Allen. Now, granted, there's no pads. They have helmets on. No, they're not hitting each other, and you're not taking quarterbacks down to the ground anyway. But there were several times where I think it just would have been a sack when I don't think it would have been if Josh Allen was there, because you just see the difference in getting rid of the ball, making right. the play earlier, making the read earlier, and getting the ball out of your hands. And that was definitely noticeable today.
Right. Yeah, the processing. To succeed, I mean, Allen gets a ton of credit, rightly so, for his athleticism and like the raw skills, the talent that he came here with and has honed as well as he has, but you got to have the quick mind and like know where you're going, and all that stuff has to click into place. Otherwise, those athletic gifts aren't going to get you anywhere. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big difference between a backup caliber player and a starting player at that position, is how quickly they can decide what's happening.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there was no James Cook, but I'm not sitting there going, oh my God, what a difference without James Cook. Now, listen, that doesn't take away anything from James Cook, right? But the offense just runs, you know, still as kind of efficiently when you hand the ball to Ray Davis behind that O-line. And I know the bigger picture, could be an indictment, I guess, the way I say that on James Cook. But you guys get the point. There's just a big difference because these guys, they rotate anyway, right? It's not like you see James Cook on the field 100% of the time making all these plays. Sometimes he's not on the field. So, you know, you see that difference without Josh.
Sal Capaccio with us on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on WGR. I'm starting to hear mostly the same point made about Maxwell Hairston. the Bills' first-round pick, cornerback out of Kentucky, which is, I'm thinking of Mina Kimes, I'm thinking of different analysts who seem to just be hitting this one point around that he's boom-bust. It's an important mm-hmm. it's an important position, and I don't know what exactly it means. Like, is there something about his style of play? Probably there is, that have people, or at least some people, in this state of mind, which is like, I don't know, there's upside, but also maybe downside here. Is that close to how you see it?
I would say so. I describe this draft class, especially because of Max Harrison, but others, as kind of the biggest swing type of class the Bills have had, meaning they've taken the biggest swings, but with those swings might come some, you know, risks involved. And I think it's a really good question when you say, what does that mean, boom or bust, with a lot of guys, right? And then you listen to Tre'Davious White talk about Max Harrison today. It's a good question. I think the best way I would describe it, and I do agree that it can be like that, which is he has all these amazing athletic traits. But a guy like that, he's always been the best athlete on the field wherever he's gone. He's been the fastest player. He's probably been the best player with the best hands and all these kinds of things. So a lot of times guys like that just aren't refined. And it's how much you can refine them. And if they can dial in on those, it's really the margins. If they can get in on the margins, then, okay, that's just something that he's going to have to do a little better than he never had to do. He could make up for it at Kentucky. You know, there was a lot of talk when he was drafted about how, even I think Brandon Bean said, like, if he got beat, he closed and made up the play, right? That's not going to happen at the NFL level like that, guys, right?
Right.
You're going against these incredible wide receivers. So he's going to have to learn and put himself in a position where that doesn't happen, because he can't just say, I'm just going to make it up because of my speed. And then, like, today, I will tell you, like, it was an uneven day for him, I thought, today. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there was a play where he's in good position on Tyrell Shavers. But Shavers is taller, and the ball was thrown nicely. I don't remember who threw it. It's kind of over the middle, running towards maybe the right sideline, and Shavers goes up and grabs it over him. And you're like, man, Harrison had good coverage there, but, you know, maybe in college he makes that play, because he's not going against an NFL wide receiver who's got the skill and the height that over he does like that. There was another time where he had to, like, I heard the coaches barking, and whoever was at safety kind of yelled to Max to kind of move over, move up, like kind of put him in a position. Those are things maybe in college he could get away with. And I think the boom or bust comes in where, boy, if he gets those things, you coach him and he's coachable, he understands that, and those things come together, you're looking at a really high-level player, because all that other stuff is already there. But if you don't get that, and that doesn't come together, then those mistakes are going to magnify at this level.
Yeah, I boom or bust, when I hear that phrasing, I think this is a guy that's going to want to gamble.
Yeah.
Right, like I'm gonna want to jump routes, that kind of,
especially right.
Right, yeah, right, right. And I I guess I want to say I welcome that. I mean, I know that there is a downside to it. You know, the bust comes, and that can be a busted double move, and the guy's open, and that's it. It's over. Touchdown, easy throw. But man, I think the idea of having a guy that will take chances. I liked Rasul Douglas for this when he first got here. And then last year, it just never really popped again. I don't know if he was just not the same player that he had been before he got injured late the season prior or what happened. But I like a guy that's got a little gambler in him back there.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't disagree either, Bulldog. And I'll say, partly because we haven't seen that from the corners other than that eight-game sample of Rasul Douglas, you know, when he first got here. You're right. You know, the Bills have always drafted, and this is part of my point when I said, when the Bills drafted this year, I said, I think they've taken swings this year. Whereas, I think in the years past, the Bills have really drafted for the floor. And I'm not telling you they went out and consciously did this, but to me, it seems like the players they got in years past, when you go through their draft history, boy, they've just really got guys who could add to the depth, who have good floors. They develop. Mm-hmm. You have a sixth-round pick in DeMar Hamlin who's going on a second contract. That's a really good pick in the NFL, right? I mean, like, there are guys, Jaquan Johnson lasted 4 years in this league. Like, those are good, solid draft picks that you get that have these higher floors. But what's the real ceiling on guys like that? Now you get a guy like Max Harrison, to me, boy, he's got that ceiling. But, boy, you got to be ready for, is that floor going to be higher? Because the floor could actually be lower because of everything that right. you just said. And that's, I think, where the boomer bust comes in. And that's why I think this year they went a little bit more of a, okay, we're going to go for the higher ceiling, but with that ceiling does come a chance for a lower floor when it doesn't go right.
Still no team for Douglas, by the way, like Amari Cooper, has not signed with anyone here this offseason. Sal, I learned, as I mentioned to our guest earlier, Rich Rebar, a new term today called a Morrell-Lavalley lesion, a quote, uncommon, end quote, right knee injury from Dalton Kincaid. We knew there was something. We had, what, Dawson Knox after the season talking about Kincaid maybe playing with a torn ligament as well. I guess I'm not sure this is anything new to you. To me, it's like it's more than I thought it was and maybe a little bit scary for what his future might be, but I don't really know if I'm right in that respect. How much of a talking point for you is Kincaid and his knees?
It's not been as much from me. It is from a lot of fans. I get it. You know, I posted a picture today of Dalton and Dawson standing next to each other, and Dawson's got a bit of a wrap, like, on his knee. I put some tape. His knee is taped up, but it's not a big deal. Like, he's just got some tape. And Dalton's got a
full-length wrap on his one leg, right?
Yeah, well, it's a compression sleeve.
Right, right,
but,
okay.
But Bulldog, that's what's happening is, you know, pulled up, people are looking at it and going, wait a minute. Okay, like, I thought he was fine. Like, why is he wearing a compression sleeve? And as you know, athletes wear compression sleeves. It helps with blood flow and all these different kinds of things. But it could be because, you know, he's thinking, okay, I got to do this to be a little bit more protective for whatever reason. And I think that when that happens, I think what's happening is every single picture and video I know that I put out or anybody else does about Dalton Kincaid is getting so scrutinized and analyzed. Is he bigger? How much bigger is he? How is he moving right now? Does he have his knee wrapped? Does he have tape on something? So I do think it's a big talking point. My thought is just someone who covers the team who's around it every day is it's May. He had an injury he went through last year. They have a medical staff that's trained and it's going to be working with him. We heard even today he's living in the weight room all year. When we get to August in training camp, and then especially when you get into the season, that's when I'll be able to tell a little bit more of, is this more of a concern?
Fair enough. The coordinators both spoke today. Any interesting takeaways for you, starting with Joe Brady?
Yeah, for Brady, I thought, you know, I asked him specifically, listen, how do you – he says it's a new year. Every year is a new year, right, and everything you do. Well, that's true, but he's in a unique situation where even though it's a new year – you really only have two differences on the entire roster on offense. You have the two wide receivers out, Cooper and Matt Collins, and the two wide receivers in, and that is Joshua Palmer, he said, by the way, Joshua, and Elijah Moore. That's it. Everything else is the same. So, like, how do you can build on that. You can really just kind of take all of that and go from where you were. And his response was, look, of course, like, that helps. He said, but if you do that, that's basically becoming too comfortable. You can never do that. You still need to go back and figure out what can you be better at? Where can you go from there? There's always going to be new things, and teams are going to attack you differently. And I like that response, right? It's not, hey, we scored 30 points a game, and we have pretty much everybody coming back, so we're going to go out there, and we're just going to continue to go even higher. It's no, we still have a lot of things we didn't do right last year. Where can we build on those things? What can we do better? So that's what I thought from Joe Brady. As far as Bobby Babich is concerned, a little bit of the same. You know, Bobby's going into his second full year. And he said, you know, last year I sat up here and said, everything that happens to me is going to be the first time happening, right? You're always going to have that first time that you go through something. He said, and that happened. But you still aren't fully prepared for that first time happening until it happens. And he said, you know, this year, one thing that, and he didn't get specific on this. It's very interesting, I thought, and I wish, and I'm sure he wouldn't get specific. But he said, even starting with him, he believes they have to have a more consistent approach on a weekly basis. And I wonder what exactly that means from game planning. And to me, that's like game planning, right? Okay, like maybe they were trying to do a little too much on a week-to-week instead of being themselves, if that makes sense. That's how I interpret it. He didn't say that, but I maybe got that kind of vibe.
That could mean a few different things.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see, and it will take a little while here, obviously. I mean, not just through the summer in preseason and watching practices, Sal, because I don't know how much of a clue we'll get about what they plan to do with all the different personnel, the new personnel on that side of the ball. It is quite different than on offense because you've got like new guys up front, you've got new guys on the edges and the corner, maybe a new starting safety in Cole Bishop. So there's a lot of moving parts there, and I wonder like how just different it will be. But like I already alluded to, Hoyt and Ogunjobi, like guys that are certainly to varying degrees. I think Hoyt factors in bigger way than Ogunjobi. They're out for 6 weeks, so we don't even get to see that take shape as the season begins. But still, with the new guys up front, I mean, Landon Jackson and Walker in the middle, assuming he's healthy enough to, you know, to play starting when training camp gets here or even mini camp next week. Because I think that
ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Been slow playing him, but there's just a lot of new moving parts up front.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, let me say about Bobby Babich. I think I've probably talked to you guys about this before a little bit. Like, Bobby Babich is going to crush it when he's a head coach someday, if he ever gets that opportunity. He already crushes it as a defensive coordinator. What I mean from that is from a media standpoint, he's just great to listen to. Like, I love listening to him. He's very honest. He kind of gives you a lot more insight and detail, I think, than a lot of people do. And, you know, he was talking about Cole Bishop today, and you're talking about the new parts there. That's one of them, right? And he said, look, like, he missed training camp last year. Those were very valuable reps. And the biggest difference from year one to year two, said Cole is just so much more, it said comfortability. That was the word he used, comfortability with Cole Bishop. And he talked about Taylor Rapp. It's so funny. We had all this talk about, are the Bills going to draft a safety? Remember the whole day thing on draft day, Malachi Starks? And I remember coming out with you guys and Jeremy and Joe, like, I just don't see it. Like, they like their safeties. And a lot of people, a lot of Bills fans think they shouldn't like Taylor Rapp for whatever reason. There's been nothing indicating to me they ever don't like him. In fact, I think they really like him. And today that was reinforced. He said he thought Taylor Rapp had a really good year and said really, really tackled well. Like, that was a big part of having a really good year and what he did, and plus the three interceptions. So that's how they feel about the safety position. I did ask him about Jordan Hancock, which is interesting. I said, you know, how do you balance? This guy has safety, nickel. What do you do? You have a – how do you get him to one spot because you train him at both? And his response was interesting. He said okay, – I want to try to get this right. I quoted it exactly, I think. He said, we have a very well-thought-out, articulate, time-sensitive plan for him. How about that? So whatever that means – for Jordan Hancock going forward, no doubt. And then you have the other things you talk about, which is the other guys getting, you know, part of Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt. But, you know, Joey Bosa's hurt. And he said the big thing about that, we won't flinch. When Joey's ready to play, he's ready to play, right? But otherwise, said, that's my job. We have to adjust. You have to adjust all through the year, and that's part of the part of what we have to do right now with these guys.
When Joey's ready to play in late September, early October, he's ready to play, and it's my job to tell him he's not going to play for two more months after that. That's my that's my job to lay that out. All right, very good. Sal, thanks for your time.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
You know, if I knew this Bobby Babich, you know what I want to ask him? Like, privately? And I want to ask, like, McDermott this, too. What would you do with Travis Hunter? Hmm. What would the plan be? Wouldn't these maybe this question be a question maybe every team has asked of each other internally? Like, what do you think? What would we do?
What would we do with that?
If we had a great corner and a great receiver in one player, I bet it would, of course it would vary. But I wonder if, like, sort of the nature, so to speak, of the head coach, which side of the ball, you know, he's sort of keen on, would dictate that. Like, Jacksonville has hired an offense. They always seem to hire an offensive coach. Well, that's not true, but they just did. Liam Cohen. And he's talking about Hunter at receiver. And I kind of, you know, believe him. And part of that, they traded up for him, second overall. Mm-hmm. You're not going to limit him to any extent. I'd like to know sort of how the Bills would have handled Travis Hunter.
Interesting. There's a highlight making the rounds today that I can't imagine you haven't seen of Hunter making an interception. He was playing. How did you? I saw it.
I was mowing
78 times when I got here today.
Oh, wow.
Everyone retweeted it, like, all at once. He was covering someone and made I think the ball hit the ground. But
I was reading
a
about
great
politics.
Diving, one-handed. Wow, that must have been informative.
I was too immersed in politics news.
Anyway, but he at least a rep as a DB today that I saw a highlight of. So they are using
him. I don't know what I was
both sides
doing. I had the podcast this morning, ADP Chasing, then I cut the grass. Went to lunch with my son in between.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
How's that rider working out? Is that working out all
right? Love it.
So far?
Love it. Yeah.
Are you starting to feel the zen of being on the mower and sort of surveying your kingdom?
No.
No? Okay.
But I'm enjoying, I think of myself as a Zamboni driver.
All right. That works.
Trying to figure out the most mm-hmm. optimal route.
Right.
I'm enjoying that. Just sort of spending my thoughts on that. Not getting pen and paper out.
Right.
But just like I attack it. If I go around here, maybe I can come up here and sort of attack my lawn like I'm driving a Zamboni, which I kind of am.
Pretty much.
That's what I'm doing. And missing out on Travis Hunter clips. 803-0550, Travis Hunter. Sean McDermott, we've talked about with this Knicks news, making the decision on McDermott, how and when, if ever. And I don't mean that, pejoratively, like, because obviously he's won a lot and you know the whole thing. So we've got those topics and more. We'll continue after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
A problem that every coach faces every year is if you think you can just pick up where you left off, you lose sight of the details, you lose sight of the how. You lose sight of, like, what got you to that point. And so there's elements of what we did last year that we obviously need to continue to sustain, but there's so many elements we got to get better at. I think when you just focus sometimes on the good or we got a lot of guys back, you can get comfortable, and we got to get better on offense, right? We got to find ways to improve. As long as we embody that and have that mindset, regardless if we had 11 new starters or all 11 back, we got to have that same approach.
Joe Brady, got to get better. Sure.
That's how I feel.
Franchise record in points.
I'm always striving.
You can't get complacent.
Just trying to improve every day. Even a minuscule percentage. Just keep getting better.
I think the only way the Bills can get better on offense is the one thing we obsess about. I don't know what else it would be. It would not be up front. It would not be Josh Allen related. Mostly, right? Hitting that downfield pass is his job, but wouldn't be like, oh, we got to get him different in this way. Wouldn't be the running game. What could it be? It would be
explosive plays in the passing game.
That's it.
Right.
That's it. Where they wouldn't need to be so efficient as often on offense because they're playing a more conservative brand. I don't know what else I could even think of that would be like improving their offense.
Yeah.
But I do think that's big, and it really is at the root of all these conversations we have about their players.
Yeah. And I know I've not heard the point made, I don't think, this offseason, or maybe it's possible McDermott and or Bean. I remember McDermott making the point one of these offseasons, I feel like it was last year, about drives that have an explosive play, 20 yards or more, the percentage of those that end in points or touchdowns is, you know, like he definitely recognizes the value of having that in your bag, like having that club to be able to hit the big play, whether it's a touchdown or not, but just, you know, get, you know, the odd 25 or 30 yard pass play, like I'm scoring, you know, that's how those plays often feel. I mean, emotionally they feel that way, but like the data tells you the drives that contain that sort of play end in points more often than those that don't. And it stands to reason. You don't have to do as many things right as many times if you are getting a chunk of yards on one play, whether it's, you know, handing the ball off and a guy running 30 yards through a seam like James Cook did many times last year, or it's hitting a pass down the field. All that requires is a guy getting open and your quarterback having enough time to get him the ball. You know, everybody's got a job to do to make it happen. I'm not saying it's that easy, but it's just, if you've got that in your arsenal, it's a big advantage. So I wonder if they will try to work on that, or, you know, again, we're hearing words here from Joe Brady about, you know, evolving and getting better and not taking anything for granted, and I appreciate that. That is the one thing that they really didn't do much of very well last year. It was be explosive.
How is it that on two profootballreference.com pages, the basic one and then the advanced one, the game logs, I can't get James Cook's long run per game? That's not on there? I mean, the advanced one gives me a lot. Yards after breaking tackles.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see, like, long. That's what I want. What is, you know, Cook is, we're at a point with Cook, and I'm, maybe this isn't fair for me to say because I didn't, you know, I'm one who didn't bring it up to Sal. Go ahead.
I've got last year open here with game by game long runs if you have a question, or do you want,
would that be ESPN.com?
Yes, it would.
How do you like that? How many games was his long run more than, like, 10 yards or more? Most?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, most. Most. Yes.
Most games he had at least one 10-yard run?
Yeah.
How about 15?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven times he had?
Seven times.
What are the highest 15 numbers? 15 or more. What are his biggest runs? Miami?
New England. What week is this? Anyway, I don't know what order I'm going in here because the games don't look like they're adding up in the right order to me. Oh, it's going backwards from the open.
Now we're at ESPN.com.
The top of the page is the last game of the season instead of the other way around. So anyway.
That's an outrage. That is a heinous act.
I've never noticed this about the player stats because nothing else seems to be like this.
That is a disgusting act.
Hit a 15-yard run against the Cardinals, a 49-yarder against the Dolphins. And these are the 15-yard only above. 18-yarder against Seattle, a 20-yarder against Indianapolis, a 65-yarder against the Niners, a 41-yarder against the Lions, a 46-yarder against New England the following week. Those are the long runs per game. I left out any that, you know, were below 15. There's a couple of 13s, a 12, an 11, and then an 8 or a 6.
It's a big part of his year. It's always the touchdowns, but because really a lot of those games are not – I mean, he went for 107 against San Francisco. He had a 65-yarder. He went for 100 exactly in the first New England game. He had a
46-yarder in that one, right.
That's half his game.
105 against Detroit, 41-yarder in that game. Yeah, and that was, to my eyes, new. Him running away from people last year, I did not see that his first 2 years here. Much. I don't know, that could have just been better line play, you caught the defense in the right thing or whatever, and so, but I feel like there were times last year where he did accelerate away from people, and I never thought he had that gear, but last year he seemed to have that gear. So I don't know if there was work done in the off season that led to that, but I just saw a more explosive player last year. You want me to get the season before that out and see the long runs?
No, I don't know.
I don't need to do that.
I don't know that. I'm not going to say that you're wrong about that. I would, in a vacuum, tend to say, well, that's probably mostly not possible. But okay, I mean, maybe his weight or something about I just this is not breaking news. The running, your running back is as good as your line and your offense. And last year, if not also the year before, Rich Rebar told us this. We knew it about the Bills' offensive line. However great they might be, what they've been that's so key and important, if that's the same thing, to their success is the five guys have been on the field constantly. And they did well enough, plus Alec Anderson, to open up things for Cook. And when you have Allen, too, it's going to be hard to stop if that's what you want to do. So, you know, not to belabor a point about him, I just don't really care if it's James Cook or someone else. Because if I'm in those same circumstances, my other guy is going to do fine, maybe sometimes even better, depending on how explosive he is or just what kind of runner he is. That's why part of it is just from a, you know, from the standpoint of this job, it would have been fun, I think, to see them draft somebody in like the fifth round. It would have been somebody that, if you will, the Chris Trapassos of the world maybe would have really liked. And then we're in here at the OTAs, and I'm annoying Sal with, how does Jarquez Hunter look? But he's on the Rams, so we don't have that. We don't have anybody new.
Right.
And you know, I'm not sad about that, but I think I would have enjoyed the other scenario. I don't know. What's the best-case scenario with Cook? I don't think it's for you that the Bills give him a three-year contract.
No. I think my ideal – this has not changed since day one. Like the day he tweeted the eyeball emojis or whatever it was that started, the $15 million a year contract train for him – my ideal scenario is he comes in and gives you some semblance of last year, like to the best of his ability. He gives you last year again. I'm not going to count on 16 touchdowns. I'd sign right now for 10. But he just gives me the year and rides off into the sunset. If somebody wants to give him that big money in free agency, then go ahead, and then I'll have Ray Davis and Ty Johnson, and then I'll be in the business of drafting someone, I imagine, because that model, I like that model. I mean, this is what they – now, Cook has turned out to be a better player, a more valuable player than Devin Singletary. But third-round draft pick, they let him run it, and they let him go, and, you know, he's gone on his way and fine. He's been on two teams in 2 years since he left here. I'm not sure where he ended up now.
Giants.
Is he still on the Giants? Okay.
I think so.
He went to Houston first and then to the Giants,
yes.
I think, right? Okay.
The Giants have two other guys. Nobody's drafting Singletary. I think he's still there.
But anyway the point is they used him up to an extent. I mean, I know he's still playing, but they got what they wanted out of him and let him go on his way. And I think Cook, I don't see a reason not to do the same thing with James Cook. Like, my ideal scenario is get a fourth good year out of him and replace him with someone young and cheap.
Cruel.
That's what I think you should do at running back.
Did you know that Cook, I think I used to know this and had forgotten, Cook is 6 weeks older than Davis?
Oh, I did not know that.
Like, Davis was old coming into the league for a prospect, and I think maybe that held him back a little bit, but because, you know, it's kind of a strike against, I think, with running backs or receivers too. Maybe not quarterbacks anymore. Tyler Shough is 38. The Saints drafted him in the second round, and he's the first player ever to be drafted at the same number as his age. Pick 42. No. Davis is November of 99, and Cook is late September of 99. They're both younger than your marriage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sorry, it took me a second.
I don't know why. I didn't mean that as a shot.
I just had to.
99, like, you.
That's right.
June of 99.
Right. That's right.
So yeah.
I got married before they were born. Right?
You were married before.
Right.
Maybe all of the Bills running backs were born. How does Johnson compare? Is Johnson going to be older than both guys?
Yes. I'm going to say he's born before I got married.
That's correct. He is 27. The other guys are 25, so well done. Time out here. Lines are open for you, 803-0550. Cook or any of the other topics we've been hitting lately. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. We'll look for your calls again after the next update, just in about 10 minutes. Jim Marshall, dead at the age of 87, long held the NFL record for consecutive games played. And he wasn't a kicker. He was a real football player.
Oh, Fearsome Force. No, the Purple People Eaters. Oh, my gosh.
Purple People Eaters.
That was a really bad gaffe.
You didn't take your hand off the piece. You got away with it.
Right.
282 games, maybe. This, I think, I've been thinking about this, is one of the first football players I ever knew of because of the play that he ran backwards.
Right.
Not ran backwards.
Ran the wrong way.
Ran the wrong way.
He's going the wrong way.
He's going the wrong way. And it's always been, you know, when I think of that, I think of like, is that something that really should be possible, that you could just not know which way you should be running?
It seems like a pretty entry-level thing to have down.
Maybe it was tougher in the old days because there weren't logos all over the field, or maybe there was something about...
Everything was muddy.
And it was, everything was muddy.
And it was black and white.
Yeah. Although that play is available in color. Bill Kilmer is the player who fumbles. It's a pass play, isn't it? And I think Bill Kilmer, who was a quarterback...
Yeah.
I want to say he's on the 49ers on this play.
Okay. I only remember him on Washington. But
as a quarterback.
As a quarterback.
Who started a Super Bowl.
Right, right.
But I believe he is the fumbler on this play, and Jim Marshall, who's playing defensive end, picks up the ball and runs the wrong way, all the way for what he thinks is a touchdown, but is actually a safety. He throws the ball in celebration,
into the crowd, almost. Like the way officials throw the ball to one another, this sort of underhanded thing. Like he just across his body, underhanded, like whoop, just throws it like off the field, it looks like.
Yeah. Where you wonder maybe, like, if that had happened now, we would be reviewing it for years to see if the ball crossed the plane the other way. What's a forward pass at that point? Is that what that is?
I don't know. It's a forward pass?
Because he's run like 70 yards the wrong way.
He throws it in such a way that it's possible. I don't know. I would guess he was asked about this before he passed away today. At some point in his life,
it's
a very famous play, right? Sort of swallows up his career, but he had an incredible career. The way he throws that ball almost looks like he realizes as soon as he gets into the end zone, like, I did the wrong thing. Like, he looks like he's mad the way he throws that ball.
But he doesn't know yet.
No, I'm assuming he doesn't know. But like, I think you could like, did he realize it the way he threw that ball? He threw the ball like, who gives a crap? Is the way he throws that ball.
How does it get scored? It's a safety, but I'm looking at his stats and it's a safety for the other team.
Right.
So he doesn't get, like, there's no column for negative safety.
Right. There's not own safety or own. Right. You don't get dinged for that.
I also remember, so, like, he's this famous player, the Vikings. It's before my time, barely, but, like, the 70s Vikings are in the Super Bowl 3-4 times. And he's, like, he always had a football card, Jim Marshall. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd think of him as being the best, almost. But he's not in the Hall of Fame. He played for 20 years. On that team, almost all of it for Minnesota, his first year was with Cleveland, and was that famous, but is not in the Hall of Fame. That seems like that would be hard to do. To have the record for most consecutive games played, and he started every game from 1961 until the end of the 1979 season for Minnesota, which was always good.
Yeah, it's a big,
for most
it's
of that.
A famous team that they were like the Bills of the 70s. The Bills of the 90s is what I mean. Like they were that good. They got to the Super Bowl, never won it, and they didn't go four times in a row. But still, there's four in pretty short order there, I think, in that decade that they get and can't win one.
What did he not do right?
I don't know.
Or well enough. Sacks?
I don't know.
They didn't keep sacks until
the 80s. Did that play like overshadow his career so much so that like we can't put that guy in the Hall of Fame? That would be absurd.
I can't imagine that.
Alan Page is in the Hall of Fame.
He is.
Carl Eller is in the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure about. I'm not sure if I can name the fourth guy.
Doug Sutherland.
Okay,
that sound right?
I had a name like that in my head, like Sapperston or something ahead of him.
Eller is in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So, ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
He's a one-timer. He's been on our show one time.
Right, at a Super Bowl.
Still going. Carl Eller.
So Eller, Page, the other guy.
Doug Sutherland.
Sutherland, okay.
I believe.
I don't believe he's in the Hall of Fame.
Definitely
it's
not.
Gary Nelson is the fourth player.
Gary Nelson?
I think all of it.
Right, the fourth guy, I think. The three were staples. And maybe the fourth guy changed out a time or two. Because I don't remember this Nelson. Sutherland sounds very familiar to me.
Yes. Okay, well.
But Marshall was, I mean, it was a nicknamed defensive line, which was, you know, there's a reason why I mixed up fearsome force. It was not uncommon to give nicknames to, you know, position groups in that era. But still, for him to have been a part of such a successful team and a unit on a successful team that's famous enough to have a nickname that most football fans know.
I'm saying.
That kind of blows my mind. I did not realize he was in the Hall of Fame until today.
Really?
Yeah. I did not realize. I don't remember it being a cause, like, you know, get him in, that kind of thing or anything. I just assumed that those three guys were all in.
Nope. Gary Larson on the kind of the front half of the Vikings run, late 60s to late 70s, and Sutherland on the back half at defensive tackle. All right, Jim Marshall. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. This is WGR.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.